But now here's Bill and with Margot Black of Portland Tenants United.
Margot Black, welcome to KABU.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Margot Black is one of the spokespeople for one of the OGs, the original gangster, that is. She was a founder, one of the founders of Portland Tenants United, that, in fact, was founded around the table here. You can tell us that story a little bit, Margot, at KABU Radio. Portland Tenants United, in a very short time, had built a very formidable tenants organization. They've really become a thorn in the side of the city council and county commissioners. They've become a beacon of hope for thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Portland, and there are a lot of disaffected people out there to organize. We'll be talking about what needs to be done by government, especially pushing developers who will not act on their own. We'll talk about what can be done to deal with the housing crisis. But first, Margot, let's talk about the housing crisis itself. Maybe start with your story and then get into all of the reasons that the bottom three quarters of people are really suffering from rising rents, and especially the lower quarter that's threatened with homelessness.
Well, my story is, it really starts in 1998, and I won't give you all the details, but that was when I had my first no-cause eviction from a small apartment complex where I was the only person being, you know, asked to leave. And I was a good, you know, rent-paying tenant, friends with all the neighbors. And I was a young, single mother of a six-month-old baby. And I was just kind of in utter disbelief at my vulnerability, my lack of rights and recourse and protections. I mean, I remember when the letter came, just thinking, what does this mean? Why are you asking me to go? Where am I going to go? It was really a traumatic experience. Then fast forward 13 years or so, my husband and I and our three children were in a rental house in Southwest Portland, and the owner was moving back in. And so we got 30 days notice to leave. This was just shortly after she told us we could renew our lease at the same price and stay in that neighborhood where we had only moved into the house with the promise of being able to put down some roots there and possibly buy it. And so once again, we were in this massive upheaval and event. She said, I shouldn't be upset about the termination of tenancy because I was just a renter and just move. And with young kids, just moving is not pizza and beer for a couple buddies and loading some boxes into the back of somebody's pickup truck. It's a huge undertaking. And so once again, I just felt really vulnerable. And then a $250 rent increase last year on my three-bedroom apartment has just left me feeling like, as a professional in Portland, that my family may be priced out, that no one actually can feel safe and secure in their housing unless they, you know, are paying their rent to Bank of America. And it just feels like a really scary place to be right now as somebody who is trying to be part of the community and take care of their children, that you never know where you're going to live next year and you have no security in your housing.
And it's happening to more and more and more people. The insecurity of housing is just going, first, there's less owner-occupied housing.
Indeed.
It's going down. And more rentals by huge multinational companies who buy up these huge swaths of houses. And then they become an investment vehicle for rich people to put into and get their monthly pound of flesh from
That's
you.
That's right. Our homes are somebody else's investment portfolios.
Yeah, more and more of that. Let's go through all the other ways in which housing is becoming more and more and more expensive very quickly, and people are being shuffled around from one house to another that they can afford and ultimately into the streets.
I mean, when we talk about ways in which housing is becoming more expensive, it's not like there's some physiological causal relationship going on. Housing's becoming more expensive because somebody is writing down a higher rent on a piece of paper. I mean, there's absolutely a choice involved in how much you decide to sell your house for or rent your house for. But of course, if you know, because housing is more expensive to buy right now, that means you do have a higher mortgage payment, which means when you turn it around into a rental, that does sort of dictate a higher rent. Part of it is just speculation. We're in another bubble where housing is the key to wealth creation. And of course, this is exacerbated by Portland becoming a really popular place to live, a lot of folks moving here and not having enough housing available. And so you have the supply-demand issue, which is certainly putting a strain on the market.
It's a popular place to live, not just because the inner core is really nice. Now, it's not a popular place to live. In lots and lots of plats of Portland, they're not on the sewer line even, much less streets, right, and places that nobody goes to except because there are no real roads going into there. It's completely bypassed. Lots of people are living there. It's also a popular place to go to because that's where a lot of jobs are. Mm-hmm. Seattle and L.A. and New York now, the major cities of this country are filling up partly because it's where you find work. It's partly the deindustrialization and the urbanization of most of America, where you can mm-hmm. only find, I mean, this is true of Oregon as well. Mm-hmm. These small towns are dying.
That's right.
And people have to go somewhere. And the ones who have a little bit of income or in the family can compete for housing. But many, there's just no housing.
That's right. For folks in certain industries, they absolutely need to be in the cities where there are jobs. But Portland is a desirable place to live, and we have a lot of – one of the ways that the job market is changing is you don't need to show up at the office at 8 a.m. anymore. You can telecommute. You can do all of your work from behind your computer at home. And so what that means is that we have a lot of folks with, say, Bay Area salaries who are coming here for our, you know, better climate and awesome culture and cool city and, of course, less expensive housing. And they're coming in with their Bay Area salaries and are able to pay more. I have nothing against the Californians moving here and even able to pay more. But, you know, income inequality is a serious driver of what's happening in our housing market for sure. Just the ability to pay higher prices. I think we would be way less hostile to the Californians and anybody in that situation if we weren't being asked to move out of our housing in order to make room for them, if there were protections in place that allowed the folks who have been here to stay here.
Yeah, it's another story of the, quote, free market, which is, of course, not free. It's all bound by all sorts of laws, but it's created, they call it the free market. But really, it's a system that enriches the rich and enriches the rich further, and it just resonates into almost every part of life, like housing. As the rich get richer, the poor
That's
get
right.
poorer,
right.
in every way.
This wealth creation is yeah. happening at the expense of our poverty.
Yeah. And then, of course, gentrification is part of it, because the rich people with money and decent salaries mm-hmm. just take the housing in desirable areas and push us people into these completely disinvested areas without any amenities at all, which exist all over Portland. Portland is not the worst of the cities. There are, it seems to me, worse examples in many, many places. This is KBOO Radio. I'm talking to Margo Black. She's one of the founders of Portland Tenants United. We just discussed the many reasons for the housing crisis. Margo, we have to get into solutions long and short term. There was a mayoral debate. Candidates came. I wasn't there. Why don't you tell us about what was the tenor of it? What did the leading candidates and the others suggest? What do you think should have been done? Just sort of the short term stuff. Then we'll get to the longer term, which, of course, requires changing the economic system very radically.
But, yes.
But, you know, one step at a time, and you're organizing. But tell us about the short term.
Well, the mayoral forum was actually very heartening. It was a packed house, which on a Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., which I think shows that people are very interested in this subject. The easiest thing for any candidate to talk about is we need to build more affordable housing, and we need to create revenue to do that, and we need to make it an easier process in order to do that. So everybody's talking about that. And of course, we do need to increase our supply, which is going to require a little bit of a culture shift in inner city Portland. We have a lot of neighborhood associations that staunchly oppose increasing density in their neighborhoods. And so as obvious as a solution as it is, there are plenty of people pushing back against it. What was very exciting is that we also heard every mayoral candidate essentially come out in support of regulating rents. We heard Sarah Iannarone support Portland Tenants United's ask to the county last week to declare a disaster, and use their statutory power to enact rent control. We were asking for a rent freeze and a moratorium on no-cause evictions until a more sustainable solution is in place, or until the crisis resolves itself. So Sara Iannarone supported that, as did Sean Davis and Jesse Sponberg. Ted Wheeler and Jules Bailey both are in favor of the government, of the state overturning the preemption on rent control, or at least reconsidering it. All of the candidates agree that rent increases should be regulated. I mean, we all know that if you're a homeowner in Portland or in Oregon, your property taxes can only go up by 3% a year. By virtue of measures 5, 47, and 50. And it seems like people are coming around on the fact that rent increases of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%, maybe sometimes several times a year, are just not a healthy way for a community to function. So all of the mayoral candidates have come out in favor of regulating rent increases, which is wonderful.
We were talking earlier, you pointed out that for people who rent from the Bank of America or the numerous other mortgage makers, they're essentially on rent. Almost nobody is paid up. But they have lots of protections unless you sign a mortgage contract that allows variable rates. But if you have a fixed rate mortgage, mm-hmm. and considering inflation, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people who are fairly house rich as a result of that. But they have protections. They have a secure home as long as they can pay.
Even when they can't pay. I mean, if I don't pay, if I'm even, say, $100 short on my rent, I can get a 72-hour non-payment of rent notice and be looking at an eviction within a month. You know, if you are a few days late on your mortgage, you know, you might have, and I don't know what the grace period is. I know somebody said they had 15 days before they got a $35 late fee. And then it's quite a long, drawn-out procedure before your home's actually foreclosed on and you're removed by the sheriff.
Renters get killed.
Here it's 35 days.
Yeah.
And a $100 late fee if you're a day late.
Yeah.
So
for people with money, just like people who are able to form unions and develop contracts and have power and protect themselves from the gun thugs that companies used to employ when people mm-hmm. tried to organize. But there is also an exception, sort of a New Deal-led exception, to create home ownership. Mm-hmm. And they, in fact, set up all of these rules, mm-hmm. and like the rules of mortgages, and banks sometimes have to follow the rules, but they have now impunity generally. So,
right.
In fact, a lot of people, they don't follow the rules, and they still are able to squeeze money out of them. And no one goes to jail for violating the rules if you're
right.
a banker.
Right.
There are criminal penalties, but nobody enforces them.
Right.
Anyway, but if you're a renter, the rules are all set against you. I mean, it's the rich people who make the it's so obvious in renting. I had never thought about it before I began talking to you. The difference in power and relative power between middle-class people who can buy a mortgage and take out a mortgage to pay their rent and renters mm-hmm. who are absolutely, in contrast, powerless.
Absolutely. And especially right now where if you are priced out of your rental house or given a no-cause termination, you have nowhere to go. We really are kind of captive hostages right now. Any rights and protections that we do have in the Landlord-Tenant Act, there's really no enforcement mechanism. You know, if a landlord breaks the rules, they could, you know, be liable to pay certain, you know, fees and fines, sometimes up to a whole month's rent. But what does it take to get that? The tenant actually has to take their landlord to court. And then if they lose, they have to pay their landlord's attorney's fees. And for some of these fines, which
what a bargain.
Right? For some of these fines, which are, say, $150, nobody's taking their landlord to court for $150. Now, on the flip side, if I'm a tenant and I break the rules, and maybe that's just paying my rent a day late or any other lease violation that can be fined, that's just added to my rent. And if I don't pay that, then I face, you know, potential eviction. So they can just bill me. I have to take them to court. And we don't even want to assert our rights these days. I mean, I've talked to people who have gotten illegal fees and the landlords have just, they're not giving the right notices and they can't say anything about it.
Margo, we have a couple minutes just to mention some of the solutions. And of course, the solution that's most necessary is to build a movement from below.
Absolutely.
Joining with other poor people's movements
mm-hmm.
and lots of other movements like environmentalists who are taking aim at the way the economy is working and build that kind of movement. Why don't you talk about the long-term solutions reforms as well as the movement.
Yeah, so long term, I mean, we really do need to build the movement. We need to organize and shift consciousness and let people know that the solution isn't home ownership. The solution is that housing is a human right, and we need to really look at housing as being something more like a public utility rather than a vehicle for wealth creation. We shouldn't have, you know, the haves who are flipping houses for a $200,000 profit and the have-nots who are either paying 50, 60% of their income or camping out on the street and told, just get a job, just get a better job, just work harder, you chump. We need to really change consciousness around housing and around renting and realize that we're not losers for having not bought a house, not gotten in when the getting was good, and that we absolutely demand equal rights. We need to talk about this as a civil rights issue and organize around that and use our power as an organized movement to just really change the playing field around the housing industrial complex, if you will.
Margot Black, our original gangster here, she had the audacity to join and help found a housing movement.
If folks want to come out to 6401 Southeast Foster on Sunday, April 17th from 4:30 to 7, you can see what Portland Tenants United is up to at our first General Assembly meeting.
Wow, the first General Assembly meeting.
That's right, for the general membership of Portland Tenants United.
Say it again, the date and place.
April 17th at the SEIU Union Hall, 6401 Southeast Foster is Portland Tenants United first general membership meeting of the General Assembly. And we'll talk about what the issues are and how we're going to organize to confront them.
Yeah, it's a nice big hall, too, and an old Masonic building
That's
on
right.
the corner. I think it's Holgate and mm-hmm. Foster. Is that mm-hmm. is it
Foster and 64th, I think?
Mile up from Powell. And think about it, April 17th. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Margot Black.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me on.
Dear landlord, please don't put a price on my soul. My burden is heavy, my dreams are beyond.